You're listening to a 9to5.cc podcast.
Hey everyone, welcome to Go Plug Yourself. We've been talking to awesome people in Montreal since 2011. Just a friendly reminder that if you're going to be buying anything on Amazon.com, Amazon.ca, or Zazzle.com, go to 9to5.cc first and click the links at the bottom or in the sidebar so that we get a bit of that money. Also follow us on Twitter, like us on Facebook, and enjoy the show.
Go plug yourself. You plug in mother plugger. Go plug yourself.
Something really racist.
I was gonna, because I was gonna.
But don't do that, because we're actually recording, Walter.
Now we're starting.
Yeah.
Damn it.
Gotcha.
Every time.
So Walter, we're back.
Hey.
This is easier than I thought, because originally I was gonna be working 4 to midnight, and scheduling these things were gonna become a fucking nightmare.
Well, they already are, but.
But a bigger nightmare.
Okay.
But now I don't work 4 to midnight. I did only 1 week of that, and I'm back to day shifts. So we're at a Friday afternoon again. Only instead of being in C. David Blackburn's house, we're in my house.
Right.
Because...
And everybody's sitting down this time.
And everybody's sitting down. At C. David Blackburn's house, if you listened to last week's episode, you might have noticed that for four people, there were only three chairs.
Three chairs.
It was that kind of place in Hochelaga Maison.
Yeah.
We're just walking, and he's like, "I was like, do you have a milk crate?" He's like, "Let me check." I was like, "That was not a serious question."
I liken it to Charlie's apartment in Always Sunny, with maybe some better hygiene going on.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Mildly better.
And hygiene. Then he had two the guy that we had just for our guest, the guys we had on was a wrestling promoter who like did the walk around the ring yelling at the wrestlers thing. And he has two very nice Adidas tracksuits.
I like that's your definition of a wrestling promoter. You know, the guy that walks around the ring and screams things at the wrestlers. You know, a wrestling promoter.
Okay, manager. Promoter / manager. Anyway, but he has two Adidas tracksuits that were like on nice hangers and like plastic bags because he needs to bring them to and from shows. But it's like in an otherwise like shithole apartment. He has these Adidas tracksuits and plastic bags.
You guys should listen to the episode that we record after this because we'll shit all over you on that episode.
Oh, perfect.
That's what we do. We start out each episode by
each episode
just
is a retrospective
dumping on the
of
last
guest. Well,
I mean, doesn't that just make sense?
Yeah,
really?
I think so. That's yeah. It's
so, Walter, do you want to introduce your guests?
You got John Scott from the LARP thing. Yay! I got to say that really fast because I'm the one who's going to forget the name.
Totally confused.
Yeah. Scott,
I get you.
I don't know your last name. I don't know if you
want
to share it or if you want to bleep it constantly.
That was really fast. Yeah, I just jumped right in there. I'm so proud of myself.
Scott Humphrey. And John Verrill from the Montreal-based web series LARPs.
Yay!
Yeah, that's that. That is that. LARPs
so,
the series.
LARPs
yeah.
the series. Is it LARPs the series or is it just LARPs?
If you want to get technical.
Technically, it's LARPs the series, but that's just because we had to get a URL that was unique.
Okay, and LARPs was taken?
Yeah.
I guess.
So, Walter, you're the everyman in this podcast. You get to be...
As opposed to every other podcast?
Well, no, but like when you do a wrestling podcast, you're the wrestling mark.
I feel there's certain common ground here.
I'm not saying there's no common ground between us and live.
No, I mean between wrestling and LARPing.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Mm. Right. I think there might actually, you know, some might argue there actually might be more legitimacy in LARPing than there is in professional wrestling. Okay. Did you guys know each other before the series, or what's the story with that?
Yeah, John and I go back about 8 years. Is that an exaggeration? 7-8 years.
No, that sounds about right.
Sounds somewhere in there. We studied together at Concordia University. We studied theater.
Okay.
And then after graduating in 2009 and 2010, we've just been very close, working together, various projects. And, I mean, I wasn't involved in the beginning of the LARPs series process, but I got on board when we started to do auditions.
Now, I know John.
That was Scott speaking.
Yes.
Yeah, we could. Yeah.
The guy gonna, with the
I feel I should.
You wanted to say it every time
Scott
someone
speaking.
Talks.
Yeah.
John has a deeper voice.
John
has a bit of a higher pitch voice.
Yeah. I have the deepest voice apparently.
Exactly. I was going to say have you so I know John personally for a very long time, probably 14, 15 years.
Yeah.
And I know that he's extensively role played. I was wondering, that was one of my questions I was going to ask to him if it was just him, but now that one of the actors is here,
sup?
It's even better. It's to be like you speaking, and I guess the rest of the cast. Okay, I'm going to back up
Like, you lost your, you lost your point there.
No, no, no. I have my point.
I know where we're going.
Directly.
I never know where we're going.
I know exactly where we're going, but do you want to just explain a little bit what LARPing is? Because I feel like everybody knows or should know, but then I realize that I'm also a big nerd. So, do you want to...
And your secret shame that you have, in fact, LARPed in the past?
It's not even that secret. It's referenced a lot on this show and on definitely on the other show. On 90S, it gets...
I
kind of
feel that
the
majority of the people listening to this are... What's LARPing, guys?
All right, so
there it is.
So there's role-playing, right? That's the people who are sitting around a table describing what they're doing in terms of a role-playing game. You're adopting a character.
Table-topping.
Yeah, table-topping. Live-action role-playing is when you are adopting a character, but instead of describing your actions, you're actually doing them.
Right.
In its basic form, that's what it is. A lot of people think that LARPing is combat on the mountain. That's not quite true. I mean, it is LARPing, but it's not... the definition of LARPing. It's a subsection of it. LARPing itself is basically people who are gathered together to play characters in a controlled environment.
The easiest way, whenever someone used to ask me about LARPing, like back when we played in the Great Big Montreal Vampire game, it was basically just like, it's like a murder mystery night, but just that it doesn't really stop and you're a vampire.
Right. It's cops and robbers, except there are rules, and it's for adults.
Yeah, exactly. No, but that's it. But I mean, because I find like there's like a weird stigma around like the fact of getting together and doing live-action role-play every week or two at a bar. But then people are just sort of like, oh, we organized a murder mystery night for our thing, and I played the Duchess of so-and-so. And you're like, you're fine with that, but then if I do it, and I'm a vampire, you're like, nerd!
I feel that people don't have... that many murder mystery nights. Like, I feel still, like that's like
still,
a once a year
it's still
thing.
Very socially accepted. Mm-hmm. Whereas LARPing has a stigma to it.
Whereas a murder mystery night is in fact a one-shot LARP.
Yeah, exactly. It absolutely is a one-shot LARP. Yeah. Like, yeah.
Now, I guess in my mind I always associate LARPing with the whole
Guys on the Mountain?
Foam swords thing and the mm-hmm. duct tape and that stuff, which I'm totally fine with. I mean, you know.
Looks like a blast.
Well, yeah, looks so. Looks
my
like
old my old roommate used
but
to.
But you're saying is this more of an umbrella term, and can in fact happen in a bar?
Absolutely. Yeah. We used to play it in Grumpy's for a number of years.
Yeah. How you guys never?
We actually made Grumpy's popular through.
Yeah, that. It was when it was used.
Yeah,
to be,
you guys. It was you guys who
one,
made
was
Grumpy's popular.
It.
Or wasn't
you're scoffing and you're acting like a big asshole.
Wasn't Mordecai Richler?
But who when Grumpy's was in the downswing. Uh-huh. In the early 2000s, the Montreal Vampire LARP was on the Grumpy's t-shirt as the Tuesday night event.
Really?
Yeah.
Like, I did not
on
know
official
that.
Grumpy's merch, they referenced that Montreal Vampire LARP was there on the t-shirt, and it was on an otherwise dead night, because it was Tuesday nights, when I think Drop the Gloves was on Wednesdays, I think, before it moved to Tuesdays, and the bar used to be dead fucking empty until the LARP moved in, and there was like 100 people in there every Tuesday.
Well, now that Grumpy's is the like premier cultural destination in downtown Montreal, you know,
not so much. Exactly, but at the time they were actually like hurting for regular nights and regular things. Like Ram, I think Ram had started working there. He wasn't managing there. There was almost no musical acts booked, and it was like certainly on the downswing. Vampire LARP was part of that upswing. Vampire LARP.
Where did Richler fit into that though?
That was like he was like fucking 70s and 80s, man. This is early 2000s. Okay. It was way past the time of like Richler and fucking Oftemeyer hanging out.
And he was dead.
I don't think Richler's dead. Was dead in 2000.
No, I meant Oftemeyer the whole time.
When you were saying Richler, you meant Oftemeyer?
The whole time.
Oftemeyer was absolutely dead by 2000. Yeah.
But Melissa was still around.
Melissa was still around. We're gonna get her on the show.
Right.
Sooner or later.
Do you guys know Melissa Oftemeyer?
I don't think so.
It's another guess that doesn't.
So do you want to run down the list of your? Do you guys know Pierre? Not Pierre.
You guys know
Justin Trudeau.
Justin Trudeau.
Because we
are aware of Justin Trudeau. Yeah.
No,
do you,
but
do you know him?
Oh no!
Can you help us?
not
get him on the
I
show?
Saw. I was at dim sum and he was sitting across the room and everyone collectively wet themselves.
Which place?
Maison Camphong.
Let's go. Oh, Camphong. I know
it
that place.
So good.
Dim sum's the best.
I'm also
we're going.
I'm also really stupid because Sophie's
Let's bring
brother.
Let's set up. Let's like every Sunday now we're gonna
we're
have.
Just gonna go to Kim. Dim sum
at Camphong and just bring the setup every time.
Yeah, we'll just bring the mics. We'll just set up and then just.
Would that be Sophie, our makeup consultant, Sophie?
Sophie, your makeup consultant, Sophie? Artist.
It's an odd last name.
Artist artist on the website and frequent member of the 90S. She's on most episodes. Her brother's involved politically and I think actually might be able to get us involved with meeting Justin Trudeau. We need to make it happen.
I mean, I've tried the official channels, and that hasn't really worked out.
Yeah, we emailed him directly.
I emailed him directly and sent him links to wrestling podcasts. Well, if there's one way to win over, not heard back from him.
Damn it. The Liberal Party of Canada.
So, live action role playing. So yes. Now we defined it. I think everybody knows what it is. Scott, did you do it before the series?
I am, with the exception of John, I am alone in the actors in that I did.
Okay.
And what I mean by that essentially is, I participated in a few LARPs, actually GM'd by John.
Okay.
In the past, Changeling, yeah. The Dreaming, and I did a couple.
Where you pretend to be a fairy.
Yay!
Half fairy.
Excuse me.
Fairy soul bound in a mortal body, if we're really nitpicking.
If you want to get super technical.
Walter just has like the best look
He's
on
like,
his face.
Like, wait, is happening?
You're killing me here.
Walter, how many episodes have we had dedicated to wrestling?
No. Just like, I'm like no, I'm like, okay, I'm just along for the ride here.
Just
man.
Going with go. It.
Yeah.
One of your favorite wrestlers is Undertaker, who pretends to be dead.
That's true. That is fair. That's fair
point. He has magic powers.
The theater in wrestling is just, anyway, I don't know if we're here to talk about wrestling or not, but the theater in wrestling is, like, magical to me.
It's the best.
I love it.
That's why I'm trying to, like, liken sort of the whole entire thing to wrestling, just because Walter is a huge, huge
the theatrical
huge
aspect
fan.
Of
yeah,
the
exactly.
Yeah,
exactly. And certainly, even also, like, if you think about in terms of the storytelling perspective, like, when people think about LARPing and they're like, oh, like, you just make it up. And they're like, no, you usually have, like, a bit of an idea of what you're going to do that night or that game, and then the GM presents you like a situation and then you respond to it as your character, and like there's a lot of improv and stuff like that that goes on in wrestling at the same time. They're like the bad guy's gonna come out and he's gonna challenge you to a fight, but the how of that, it basically gets determined by the two guys who are like holding microphones
doing
and
it.
I feel
night,
that
yeah.
a lot of that goes down in LARPing also.
Well,
so,
yeah,
and sometimes there's a screw job,
and sometimes there's often a screw job if you're talking vampire. If you're talking about vampire, there's just nonstop screw jobs. So you had LARP before, Scott?
Mm.
And
yes.
And John, I mean, obviously, you...
Yeah.
Yeah. When did you... You started young.
I started young. My older sister introduced me to
LARPing. So you were the
LARPing.
Little kid in the show.
Almost, yeah.
yes!
I was introduced to LARPing at the age of 14 at the first Shadow Court in Montreal.
What now?
Shadow Court is also a changeling event.
Changeling event.
Okay.
Well, there's like
gotcha,
got it.
But yeah, no. So I've been doing it for quite some time, and I ran games from like 2000 to 2013. So
crazy. And what are you doing now? Are you, I mean, like, other than the show, are you doing any like anything role play related?
I mean, I've been doing role play thing related right up until just after we shot, but then in post production I got too busy, so I had to put it aside for a bit.
Okay.
So we'll see if we can pick that back up again. But I mean, I'm looking forward to it. It's just, you know, you got to have a certain amount of time available and players.
So how did this come about? Because if you were just like, I want to write a story about LARPs.
Okay, 7 years ago, our director Julian Stempoli had an idea that he wanted to tell a story.
Okay.
And that story had as a framework that there were LARPers.
Okay.
However, he himself hadn't actually participated in a live action role playing game
what
before.
What a poser.
Well, I don't know about a poser, but he had this idea, and he presented this idea to a few people, including me, especially because he knew that I had some experience with it. And I said, you know, this idea is good. I want to see, you know, a script in a couple of months. And it never happened. And it never happened, and it never happened. And then in May last year, he said, look, this is something that I've wanted to do. I've had, you know, the story running around in my head for a long time, but I can't write this. Can you write this?
Okay.
So I said, sure. And I went back. We hammered out the rest of the characters. We fleshed out the story. And I went in and I wrote it over the course of the next couple of months. Mm-hmm. And we brought in our producer, Benjamin Warner.
Mm-hmm.
The two of them have a production company called Bean Duck.
Okay.
And they've been doing corporate kind of commercials and stuff like that.
But okay.
And they decided they wanted to branch out into doing more creative work, and LARPs the series was the result.
Crazy. Did you at any point in the creative process were you like, because like here, and don't take this in any sort of the wrong way, because I love both.
Get
sort
ready.
Of
ready.
I'm
no,
ready.
This,
I'm ready
this
to
is
be
not
offended.
Even that.
Get
insulting.
Ready.
But
I'm
when
super
I watched,
sensitive.
When I watched the show,
here comes.
You, fuck you. Do you know the show The League?
It's on FX.
Like, it's on FX. It's very fucking funny.
Or possibly FXX now.
Yeah, I think it might be on FXX now. It's so starring Mark Duplass and John Lajoie and whatever else like that.
Yeah,
and it's like, It's a show that you can...
Fantasy football.
Okay, you know what? The more I think about this, the more it's more a compliment, and I did not need to preface that.
Yeah, no.
With being, like, insulting whatsoever. It's how... Anyway, it's a show that's, like, the... It's about, like, characters, and they just all happen to be really obsessed with fantasy football, but it's totally watchable, even if you're not remotely into fantasy football.
Right.
And I feel that that's sort of the same sort of vibe that you're trying to get with LARP.
So you're suggesting, like, that our guests here today might have come up with a product that's totally watchable as well.
No, but I'm saying that, like...
That's
like,
an official endorsement.
Yeah,
totally watchable. Like, that LARPing to your series is like, yeah, the characters are absolutely devoted and in love with their characters in the LARP when you watch the show, but it doesn't necessarily, like... It's not... I don't find it's about the LARP that they're doing. It's about the characters doing their thing.
No, it's as opposed to... exactly. It's a character drama about people who LARP rather than... A show about LARPing, and
yeah,
there are people in it sometimes.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? It's a character drama at its heart.
Yeah,
definitely.
I mean, truth be told, a lot of the times that you're exposed to LARPing in popular media, it's not really what you would call pleasant. The hobby's mocked.
Yeah.
And there are reasons that the hobby is mocked. I'm not gonna.
Yeah.
It's because it is a somewhat eccentric activity, and.
Yeah.
And just like any activity, it's very easy to find that kind of out-of-context moment that looks terrible, like the lightning bolt video online, which is very popular.
Have you seen this, Walter?
No.
It's comical. It's like the guy... It's a guy who has, like, cardboard cutouts of lightning bolts, and he to represent his lightning bolt spell, but it's just him, like... Being,
I think
just,
I
like,
have
he's,
seen
like,
this,
lightning
yes.
bolt.
Yeah,
lightning
no,
bolt.
I've seen that. Yeah.
Like, just, like, chucking cardboard at a guy, and the guy's like, ah! Like, backing up. Which is, like... There's how else are you fucking supposed to represent shooting a lightning bolt?
Is that a genuine instance of LARPing, or is that like a parody?
No, that was a genuine instance. It was like, I'm a fucking magic wielder, whereas you get to have a foam sword if you're a knight. I have to have lightning bolts to fucking throw at you. I need something to represent this.
Maybe like a bug zapper.
I feel like that would be...
Or like one of those, you see those bug zappers that are like...
A taser.
They look like tennis rackets.
Yeah.
They look like a tennis racket, and then and if you hit it...
But how would it be ranged? You would throw it at him?
I guess that would actually
brutal.
Cause legitimate harm.
Yeah, and you're just throwing
and thus
big chunk.
Defeating the whole purpose here.
Yeah,
yeah exactly.
A little bit.
Yeah.
But what we were trying to go for is to show the hobby as what
sparklers.
It is.
Sparklers.
No, it's okay.
No,
that's legitimate.
Big yep. sparklers.
Yep.
But like you wouldn't throw them at a guy. Just go like sort of wave.
You
it.
Just like wave your little sparkler at him and eventually burn your hand on the really hot metal.
Yeah.
Worth it!
I look amazing, guys!
Take a picture of me before they burn out.
I only brought two.
Okay, right.
Look, I can write my name in the air.
Exactly. Just keep the shutter open for a long time on the
Roman
camera.
Candles if you're not drinking, because then you could sort of control where you're shooting them at.
We've discussed this. That was a game that I used to play.
It's a great game.
We used to play a game up at my cottage called Wizard, where we just lit Roman candles and shot them at each other, and we wore big ponchos feeling it was pretty safe.
As opposed to, you know, the ponchos going up in flames.
Well, no, but you just kind of, if you got hit, you just kind of patted it out. But we were like we
wow.
felt, like, bare skin felt really like, we're like, no.
Nope.
But then we're like, we have these big, like, ponchos, and they were plastic. Like, they were, like, plastic rain ponchos.
Because you really
my eyeballs are still exposed, but
you really want to be surrounded by flaming plastic.
We had, like, the hood
definitely.
Up. Yeah, but it's not flaming. It's not that hot. It's just, like, poof.
Anyway.
But yeah, no. We're trying to do the series. We're trying to do the series from kind of a. We understand that there's funny things about LARPing,
yeah.
and we're not afraid to laugh at that kind of thing. But we're not. But you're right. The show's not about the hobby. The show's about the people who are actually doing it.
Cool.
So which is why we wanted to appeal to people who aren't LARPers.
Okay. Have you had any feedback of non-LARPer people who are like?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, definitely some of the... We've received quite a bit of feedback, both, you know, online and in person.
Okay.
From both LARPers and non-LARPers, and I think the feedback I'm hearing a lot from people who don't participate in the hobby or who even don't know anything about the hobby, they always... they've been saying that the series is super approachable. Like, it's not alienating to them at all. You know? It's...
Yeah.
Yeah, it's
I mean, even you the thing that you guys do where you don't throw around too much, like, lingo, and any lingo you do, you, like, present, right, at
it's
the beginning
preface,
of the episode.
Right. Exactly.
Or it's not necessary to understand.
Yeah.
Yeah. But we actually made that decision early on. We weren't going to get into, you know, explaining the rules of the game terribly, and we weren't going to get into, you know, basing it on a real kind of LARP with a rule book and stuff like that,
yeah.
because that's not important to the story.
Yeah.
and it would serve only to exclude people as opposed to make it feel inclusive.
So, but what game are you guys really playing? Tell us.
it's just a fabricated kind of
It universe. Seems like it's a very typical just fantasy.
It's a medieval fantasy type game.
Mm-hmm. So, you're Biff / Will
Sissa. Yeah,
exactly. You're in the preview episode. You have one of my favorite moments of the series, and also a guy that I roleplay with, Pat, mm-hmm. was just sort of like when you shoot. Noctis in the dick.
Yep.
And then you're like, I shoot him in the dick. Pat was like, he's like, that's pretty funny. And he's like, it's super funny if you know that player. And then he was like, by the way, Keith, that player is you.
I was like, identify with it.
There exactly. I was like, fuck you, Pat. he's like, you've ruined so many moments for just being hilarious in so many LARPs. I was like, you fucking asshole. But I was like, it's fine.
I mean, in that episode, I love the progression of it, you know, because we start with the sort of like the super serious you know, and Arthur is, you know, very into how his character, you know, his character and his character's journey, and then Brittany as well in a lot of ways really enjoys the role playing aspect of playing someone like Corellia, and then Will just kind of wanders in and he's like, what can I do to fuck this up? Basically, essentially. He's like, oh, I have to... We're going to take down Noctis, all right? I'm going to shoot him in the dick. Like, of course I am. That's exactly what I'm going to do. I really enjoy that sort of thing. Let me tell you.
And as a GM, players like you, Keith, who are... players like you who just take joy in what they're doing is to me just as important as the person who's like, I'm going to be really hardcore and crying is the ultimate expression of role playing to me. Right? Wow.
But sometimes I need to cry. Dude, Walter, you scoff, but it's
people cry.
People cry and are very, very proud of it when they do.
Yes. In LARP sometimes.
Wait, because they make themselves cry or because of legitimate emotion?
No, because they make themselves cry. Like they're like much like a wrestler. If a wrestler were to be crying in the middle of the ring, he's not crying, but you're like, but for that character moment, you're like, the character is crying.
Yeah.
So it's like, say you and I are LARPing, okay, and then you killed Sarah's character, and then I actually brought real tears.
Right.
I'd be like, afterwards, I was like, guys, did you see me cry?
Yeah, he's really in the moment, man. That's important. Yeah. I like that.
Did you see me cry?
Which, and you'll have sometimes in some role-playing games, you'll get what are called noms, which is at the end of the game, people will say, this guy had the best, role-played the best today, and I had to stop having noms because noms invariably went to the person who either cried in the game or who yelled the loudest. And that doesn't necessarily mean that you were the best role-player. It just meant that people noticed you. For me, as a GM, I mean... what I want is for people to have fun.
Yeah, for sure.
And if you make the game fun for yourself and for other people, then you've done it right. And I get the feeling like Will's character is the guy who is in there thinking, you know, more than anything else, I understand that this is kind of a dorky activity, but I want to have fun.
Yeah.
So he does. And if that involves causing physical pain to his brother, then by all means.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's a social act. The five characters on the show, the five leads on the show, all roleplay for different reasons, and I think it really sort of represents in a lot of ways, the spectrum of why people approach the hobby.
Yeah.
And Will definitely falls at this is a social hobby end of that spectrum, definitely. You know, much in the same way that people go to the bar and drink with their friends. He's like, we go in the forest, I dress up as a ranger, and I shoot people in the dick. That's my Friday night.
Well, this is like, that sounds like something I'd be into.
Shooting people in the dick is my anti-drug.
Will. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So, I had another question for John. How was it like writing at least a version of yourself? Because there's a bit of you in that guy.
Yeah, there is.
Like you're just like a little. It's like a little more like aloof and a little more into the game than maybe you are actually. Maybe.
Well, it depends because over the course of my career, as it were, as a game master, I feel like I've relaxed quite a bit because
you've had moments of being way too serious.
Well, yeah, of course I did.
Yeah.
Right. Like, and everybody does, but also. You know, I've been doing this for over 10 years, right?
Yeah.
Anyone's going to change over the course of 10
years.
Evan is actually based on the director's brother.
Okay.
His original kind of basis. But when I came in to write him and then also play him, the hard part is playing something that you've written, which is difficult when you're in the writing process, because I had to audition to play this character.
Yeah.
Because we held auditions for, even though the cast knows each other, we still actually did hold auditions for everybody, and I felt it was only fair to, you know, even though I was writing it, to audition for the character I was going to play. And there's something a little odd about writing for someone who you're eventually going to play, because you start thinking about it too much. You start overthinking it.
Yeah. Well, it's like the Kevin Smith thing, where they were like, how he intended on being Randall.
Yeah.
And that's why Randall has the best lines.
Right. Whereas, like, it's what's weird is that it's the opposite, because I was trying to write being like, oh, I can't make myself look too good, so I'm going to make everyone else look good, and I'm just going to be the straight man, and that'll be the way that we'll do it. Right.
Yeah.
Clearly I drew on experiences that I had before for not only playing Evan, but also for writing the other characters. At the same time, I sincerely hope that if anybody has a GM like Evan, that they can kind of encourage him to loosen up a bit. But that's me, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Like, because I realize that, you know, gaming is supposed to be fun, and you really cannot take yourself too seriously when playing, ever.
Now, you guys are putting out an episode every 2 days, right? What's the story behind that scheduling? Because Keith was explaining that to me. I'm like, that's,
well, there's like, what's wrong
intense.
With one a week?
Like, no, the rest of the internet.
Actually, that's what I said.
All right, well...
you're not sure if you can?
Well, I know what the scheduling situation is, and I think the idea behind it, just to jump in here... Yeah, we've got... there was episode zero, and then there's 10 further episodes in the season, through 10.
Was zero the preview episode?
Zero was the... Yeah, the...
Figure that one out.
Hey!
Zero. There it is. You got it. He's got it.
Remember, on the ball.
And I think the release schedule, instead of releasing it all in one shot, the idea was to spread it out.
Right.
And if you spread it out too much, then there's... The episodes are very short, right? They run about 5 to 8 minutes, somewhere in that zone. And if you leave it a week between episodes, you leave people wanting more, which is positive, but also you maybe are leaving people wanting too much.
Right.
They're too short, people watch them, and then it's gone. They're going to forget about them in a few days. This way, we're hitting everybody up every 2 days. Well, Mondays, Wednesdays, Fridays.
Yeah.
Well, we look at Netflix, right? House of Cards.
Yeah.
House of Cards doesn't get released on a weekly schedule. House of Cards is just dumped on, right?
The
season's done, they release everything. And people are starting to say that binge-watching is the new way to consume media. That you just watch however much you want to watch, and then it'll still be there for you when you come back.
Yeah.
And we knew that binge-watching is one of the ways in which web series becomes popular.
Yeah.
You know? However, we also wanted to be able to that kind of period of time where you can start building an audience and having an excuse to remind everybody every 2 days, right? Like, look, you can watch there's something else.
Yeah, exactly. Right. And then if you have somebody who jumps in at week two, you're like, there's already six!
Yeah, exactly.
You know?
Because we also know that the majority of our audience is probably going to come in after everything has been released.
Yeah.
But there's other considerations too. For instance, we would like to do more.
Yeah.
And we have production companies kind of sniffing around us at this point, who are interested.
Dirty.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, hey. And they're interested, but at the same time, you know, what isn't necessarily apparent is that pre-production on LARPs the series lasted about 2-3 months.
Mm-hmm.
We shot it in 2 weeks, which is a ridiculously small amount of time for the amount that about 70 minutes of complete.
Yeah, I was going to say, you're probably
Two weeks.
You probably shot almost an hour and a half and then edited down, in terms of total content. And then that's 10 hours of footage or whatever that you ended up.
Yeah. So we had we shot a whole ton.
Yeah, exactly.
But part of that is because everybody who's involved in the cast and crew are professionals.
Yeah. Yeah.
The actors are through ACTRA.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Director is a film director. The producer is a producer. The cinematographer is a cinematographer.
Yeah,
Joe Barron.
Yeah.
Amazing. Our sound guy, you know, all of that.
Yeah.
So the crew was great, but then post-production on this has been from the beginning of October to, you know...
Now.
February. End of February.
Yeah, exactly.
So it takes a while, and if we released one a week, then we'd be into, say, you know, June.
Mm-hmm.
By or May or June by the time it was all released, And then if we're like, okay, well, we want to do another one, then, you know, we have to write the episodes. We have to cast additional casts. We have to go forward. And there just wouldn't be enough time to fit it in before we wanted to shoot it again, because we also don't want to release season one. Everyone is thrilled with it. And then, oh, you know, look forward to the next one, which is coming in a year and a half.
Yeah.
Right. We want to kind of keep the momentum going.
So, like, ideally, if everything goes smoothly, you guys, I assume, want to be, like, shooting as soon as it's not cold and shitty out.
Well, maybe not shooting as soon as it's cold and shitty out.
I personally would love to be rolling around in the snow.
I mean, that's probably going to happen at some point. Because we are in Montreal, and that is.
I was
part
like,
of,
is, the,
part
show,
of
is the show ever referenced that you guys are in Montreal?
I was
like, okay.
There are some more. We wanted to make it a bit more obvious. Like, for instance, Evan was going to be wearing a Montreal Canadiens jersey at certain points in the show, but then we realized that there could be a legal issue if we didn't have permission, and we didn't get permission in time.
Yeah.
But we're hoping to do that more. But no, you'll see in some episodes coming up that they do reference Montreal areas. At one point, people are in a cafe and they're greeted in English and French.
Right.
If you look in the menu behind Will in episode one, it's written entirely in French. Oh. So we don't hide it.
Okay. No, that's what I'm saying. I mean, like, and obviously even just, like, walking up.
No, it's Chicago.
Super Canadian accents.
Yeah, exactly. But I was just wondering if there was, like, you actually made reference to the fact that you guys...
Yeah, and we're planning on doing that a bit more for later seasons, but what we are hoping to do is to extend the length of the episodes.
Cool.
Some people who we've spoken to have said, you know, it would be great if you guys went like 10-12 minutes. Some people said you should go the full 30, you know, like really try to push it hard. And I mean, sure, we'd love to do that. If we have a season of 10 episodes at 30 minutes as opposed to 6, that's just a lot more writing to do and a lot more work.
So I don't know, personally, my two cents is I feel that, like, for webisodes, like, 6 to 10 is kind of
But it depends on what format we release after this. Because if we go on to television or if we go on to Netflix or digital model, then we may very well end up changing it. But for YouTube, we wanted to keep it short because try getting somebody to watch a video on YouTube and you say it's 4 minutes.
As soon as the...
Fine. But say
the time little clock pops up at 20, you're like
No, I'm done. Yeah. So exactly. We wanted to get people involved first and then hopefully we'll trap them into watching.
Well, what do they do when the
episodes are how long on average?
About 5 minutes.
Okay.
Some of them are a little longer, some a little less.
Yep. Like our podcast. Well,
right. 5 minutes.
Yeah. We always keep
this is a long episode.
A tight five.
Yeah. and you guys have like a YouTube sponsorship thing worked out or?
Well, YouTube has ads.
That's what I meant.
YouTube partnership.
And
sure.
As of this writing, we have made almost nothing.
Yeah.
But that's because YouTube doesn't pay very well until you start hitting into the, you know, millions of hits kind of thing. No, the project was financed by Bean Duck Productions, so the company that our director and producer have, but we're looking into getting funding because we'd like to be able to do this as
merch
work.
Dude, merch.
Well, we have some merch.
More merch.
We do have some merch, but more. But we want to make sure that if we invest heavily in merch, that we also have an audience
to sell it to.
To sell it to.
Yeah, and if you've gone down the grant route.
We've started looking into that, yeah. But
Walters always wants some news for grants.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We desperately want grants.
Yes.
Yeah.
Justin, if you're listening.
Well,
Justin Trudeau?
Yeah.
Bring us on our podcast, bring us grants.
Bring us grants.
Yeah, no, we're looking at
the way some people bring coffee and donuts, guys. I don't
know. No, that's how it works.
Justin Trudeau's going to show up to our
house with a manila envelope
some
full of money.
There will be grants.
But he's going to show up to Maison Camphung where you're going to have dim sum.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
Then okay. He's going to have the grants in his bag that are blank. He's going to write our names in them.
And he'll pay the tab.
Then he'll pay for our dim sum and it'll be a write-off on the grant.
That'd be great.
See?
And he won't ask any questions as to how we're going to spend the money.
No, exactly.
Yeah,
he'll be like, "You guys,
that's how grants work. You guys should really get one.
You guys
really
look like good kids."
Yeah,
is what he'll say.
I mean, we're looking into grant sponsorships, advertising. We're kind of looking into it all because the cost of being able to pay everybody will make the series cost quite a bit more than we already have sunk into.
Yeah.
But we're hoping that the quality puts forward to the point where we'll be able to actually afford to do that.
Well, I hope you succeed.
Hooray! Thank you.
Thanks.
Keith.
Yeah. No. Because what was the? Who was the? Not Chris. Chris Straub, the webcomic artist, was just.
Yes.
Yeah. No. But he
Starslip and Chainsaw Suit and.
He has like the famous quote where he was just sort of like, he's like, webcomic artists are just t-shirt salesmen. He was like, you don't actually make money from your comics. You make money from t-shirts.
Yeah.
Well.
And it was
that's
like
a good point.
Yeah, no, but it was like I forget if he was like doing his taxes or whatever, and he was like, I felt like I was poor, and then my like accountant was just sort of like, what did you make on merch? And he's like, oh, I'm not that poor.
Like, well, he deserves not to be poor. Chris Jobs amazing.
No, no, exactly. But that's it. But he's like actually like when he was looking at like ad revenue and stuff from the sites, he was like it was like not to say $0, but it was certainly not as much money. But then when it was like, what about merch sales? And he's like, oh yeah, that's how I pay bills. Like,
right.
Like it was literally just t-shirts. So Walter, I want you to
talk
to,
a little bit.
Yeah, obviously. I was wondering what would it take for you to LARP.
My previous answer would have been drugs and alcohol, but I don't know. I mean, hey man, I'm pretty open minded to stuff. Like I like hitting people with like swords and stuff. But
you'd get way too aggressive. I feel
probably.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because you're supposed to swing even those foam swords at like half strength, right?
He just shows up with a baseball bat wrapped in like tissue paper.
The baseball bat just wrapped in duct tape, and you're like, there's no foam.
And I just keep screaming, LARP. LARP! 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 No, I don't know.
He's already dead.
Stop. Yeah. No,
it's a little boy.
I'm pretty competitive, so anything that's like fun and has an element of competition to it. Also, gambling. Is there gambling involved?
There could be.
Yeah.
Well, different LARPs have different ways of resolving conflict.
Monetarily?
Some LARPs, yeah, sometimes. Some LARPs has combat, right? Like you've seen.
Right.
Some LARPs, like the Vampire LARP that had been running in Montreal for quite some time, used a system more along the lines of rock, paper, scissors.
Actual vampires use?
Yes.
Yes.
Absolutely. So, you know,
watch Bram Stoker's Dracula.
Right,
see
yeah.
The scene where
Gary Oldman and
Anthony Hopkins play rock, like, paper, scissors. And then
it's like a stalemate.
Exactly.
Interview with a Vampire.
Yeah, exactly.
Brad Pitt, Tom Cruise, just...
rock, paper, scissors during it.
Tom Cruise threw the bomb and everyone was like, whoa.
Did you just say
rock, paper, scissoring?
Yep. It? Nice. I like that.
That's how it goes.
Rock, paper, scissoring sounds so great.
Oh, boy.
So if you were to enter the medieval fantasy style like Game of Thrones LARP, what would you play, Walter?
Wrestling, probably.
I would be a medieval wrestler.
Medieval wrestler.
Presumably they exist.
The medieval grappler. I don't know.
Yeah, exactly.
So you'd be the fighter type.
There it is, yeah.
All right.
But like hand to hand, so like a monk.
Sure.
Yep. But a big talking monk with a big gold belt.
We've already seen a monk in LARP's the series, episode 4, which aired today.
I didn't see episode 4.
That's okay.
You are going to be very
excited. We released
it
at midnight.
Let me tell you.
Okay.
Yeah.
So it came out. I could have watched it at work.
You could have.
I could have watched it at work. So
now that you're not on night shift.
No, because I'm not on night shift. But I could watch it at work during the day. So
apart from like the overt like physical harm that you could cause or like doing stupid shit like that, are there any other major no-nos?
Realistic guns.
Yes.
You got in trouble with the cops a lot back in the vampire days.
Yeah.
Realistic.
Why did the vampire game have guns in it?
Because it's set in modern day.
Because it was modern time vampires, and fucking vampires have guns.
You
have you ever
confused.
Seen the film Underworld? There's guns everywhere.
Wake me up
not
inside.
Yeah, there's like badass fucking vampires with guns. Think about them moving all fast. Bang, 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 bang.
Isn't that just Kate Beckinsale that has the guns?
No, there are other ones.
Isn't she trying to
you
kill
know,
vampires?
And some of the werewolves have like light bullets. And
yeah, exactly. Vampires have dragon's breath rounds, which are incendiary rounds, which will actually like hurt a vampire because they're like on physical fire. But then they also melt the gun. That's a thing from vampire LARPs. Dragon's breath.
Duh.
But also sometimes humans come along, and if a human comes along to a vampire and like you want to like, oh, am I going to fucking maim him like a vampire? That'll make the most fucking obvious corpse to deal with that the cops now need to deal with the corpse, or I'll just shoot him and make it look like a fucking shooting. Guns.
Right.
Get it? You starting to get it?
Yes.
Anyway, yeah. Don't use realistic looking guns because cops will stop you a lot.
Yeah.
Get a lot of phone calls.
Were you just waving them around?
Pointing them at each other?
Where?
In the back of Grumpy's, on the street.
Your games would spill out onto the street?
Often.
One of the Changeling games I ran had one of our characters
built
props, and he was very, very fond of building his own props.
Talk about Tony?
Yeah.
Yeah, you know what's
up. See, there you go. This was a game that you were in.
Yeah.
And then one day, in the alleyway outside Ronan's house, a cop showed up because somebody had called and said that there's like a group of people who were like, they thought it was a gang.
Yeah.
And Tony had to sort of stand in the back and hide the fact that he was holding a shotgun. And it wasn't, I mean, it wasn't a real shotgun, but in the dark?
Yeah, from far enough away.
From far enough away, it would sure as hell look like a shotgun. And that was not wise.
I feel like the cops showing up, though, for me at least, would be...
incentive.
The best thing you could do. Because, I mean, if like if the cops are showing up because what you're like, doing seems that realistic, I feel that's an accomplishment.
Yeah, for sure.
Sort of.
Yeah, we had the cops called on... I had the cops called on me when I was playing sticks because I was walking around in a leather jacket with a toque and a baseball bat through the alleys of Verdun.
Yep.
I thought it's just because you were blasting like "Come Sail Away with Me" really loud.
No.
Like, yeah.
Which would have been also amazing.
Sticks
joke.
Also, yeah.
No,
you did it. You did it. Buddy.
I just didn't laugh there.
You had to explain the joke though, and therefore.
It's kinda meh.
Either way, apparently.
Cops are starting to understand a bit more about what it is, so they. It's,
it pops up more often.
Well, I mean, I.
Well, if you keep LARPing in the same area, eventually they're like, no, those kids are just playing.
Yeah, they're just playing. It's no big deal. But there are a couple of other no-nos. Like, you're not supposed to involve people who aren't LARPing. That's
yeah,
one
it's
of the
just crazy.
Yeah. Well, no, because that's actually a problem. You'll get people who want to freak out the norms, and they'll be like, I'm going to walk up to this person and pretend that I'm a vampire fairy.
I love that you just said freak out the norms.
Yeah, freak out the norms.
And, I was like, I'm into this.
and that's just rude, right?
But, a little bit.
And
unless,
that's
unless they're a jerk.
Well, yeah, unless they're
unless
a jerk.
The norm in
unless
question
the norm
is
looks like
jerk.
A jerk.
But yeah, that's something that you're not really supposed to do.
Walter, so if I were to pitch you on, we're going to go up to someone's cottage, and we're going to play a live-action role-playing game where we all play high-ranking members of the Illuminati.
That I'd be into.
The power of your imagination, yeah. Walter. We could do it.
Yeah, I want to be the, like a Cthulhu.
A Cthulhu?
Yeah.
Did you say a Cthulhu?
So like an Arkham Horror LARP?
Yeah, I don't know. I'm just thinking of which branch of the Illuminati I'd want to.
You wouldn't want to be like a corporation guy? Like a big money guy?
No. Gnomes of Zurich? I don't know.
Walter's...
you guys ever play Illuminati? That's almost... That comes dangerously close to... That's like as close as you could get to LARPing. That's like... It's like right on the... I feel like on the
Steve Jackson games, periphery. Illuminati. Because you get pretty into it.
Yeah.
Especially when you're as drunk as you often are when you're playing it.
Yeah.
I think just what you're saying, it really appeals to, like, LARPing, it really appeals to a lot of people.
Yeah.
Once they get over the initial, you know, social anxiety of, I have to do what? In public?
Yeah.
What? Or in private? Or with a group of strangers?
Yeah.
Whatever.
Wait, well, it's back to, like I said, it's back to the murder mystery thing. Like,
yeah, exactly.
My girlfriend made fun of me a lot for LARPing, and then a couple years ago for her birthday was like, let's do a murder mystery! And I was like, this is just a LARP.
Exactly.
You're inviting all of your friends over, they all have characters, they all have little goals to accomplish over the course
yep.
of the evening, you're all in costume, this is a LARP. You are playing a LARP.
Yep, like, essentially.
There's a game master who calls important events and is like, this happens, there's a loud gunshot that's heard, or like, whatever, the power's off, like, you're just playing a LARP. And then she was like, oh, okay. And then she was still like, I wouldn't do it every week.
She doesn't talk like that at all.
Oh.
Yeah. She does, absolutely.
Well, no. Now the illusion's broken. Was looking out for this.
Why did you fuck that up for me, Walter?
Just because I just need to be said.
Okay.
Her voice has been heard.
So, five questions.
What?
It's a very exciting segment.
It's a very exciting segment that we do. I need to get it on my phone. While I look for it on my phone, you were about to say, John.
Yeah, you'll get that sort of thing, like the people on the mountain who fight at the Tam Tams, right? And people are like, oh, that's kind of weird. But then hand somebody a sword, put it in their hand, and immediately their eyes like light up and they're like, I want to hit someone with this.
Yeah.
I want to try it. I want to do it. It's that thing. You break that barrier and you start reintroducing people to the concept of, yeah, it's okay to play.
Yeah.
Play is good. Play is fun. And that's, I think, why people will get into it. Because there aren't very many people I know of who have tried LARPing to a significant extent who then say, oh, this wasn't actually for me. This wasn't fun.
Hmm.
A lot of people understand and recognize the fun aspect.
Yeah, they're like, I might not be able to commit to it, but that was fun.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Or something like that. Yeah. No, for sure. I think that's... We've talked about it a little bit more on the other podcast on 9ES, but it's just like how like we live in like sort of like a golden age of like geek stuff.
Mm-hmm.
They were like how like all their biggest movies are like comic book based, and like half our TV shows are like based on comic books, and it's like LARPing is still like on the fringe of that, but it's like but just like geek culture, like video games, comic books, like stuff like that is like now very accepted, and you have people who are like, being really into comic books in your 30s is not a crazy thing like it was like 20 years ago. If you're like, well, you read comic books in your 30s, nerd, and you're like, now, like, I know a lot of people who are into comic books in their like late 20s and 30s. Like, it's a much more normal thing. So I think right. there's a little bit more acceptance of overall like geek culture. So, and I think LARPing,
which I think bothers some geeks.
Well, yeah, because
they enjoy being counterculture.
Because geeks are hipsters.
Yeah.
I was a geek before being a geek was cool.
Yep.
Ready for five questions, Walter? Do you want to try to do it?
So ready. No, actually. No.
Okay. So it's the way this works is three questions that are going to be the same questions.
I always fuck up the order.
Yeah, oh, exactly. Okay. It's not, you don't even know the new questions, even, I bet. We cycled out new questions at episode 50, and now we're at episode, like, 55 or whatever.
Right, just when I had learned the
just when you had
first
learned
series
the
of
first
questions.
Iteration yeah. of them questions. So three questions that we asked to all our guests, then it's a question asked from our previous guest, and then you guys get to come together and ask a question into the future to our future guests.
Ah, okay.
So it's really four questions.
Yeah, but then the fifth question is, what question would you like to ask to our future guest?
Oh.
Yeah.
All right. Do we get to know who the future guest is?
No.
We don't know.
Okay, well, I'm just going to assume it's Justin Trudeau and go from there.
See what happens. There you
go. Fucking.
If we say it enough.
That's like vision board type shit. Like, it's like, it's happening. Okay. So we'll ask you both each question, I guess. Scott.
Yes.
First. What did you want to be when you grew up?
OMG.
Wanted to be
paleontologist.
Nice. Good
was
answer.
It was it because
thing.
Of Jurassic Park?
Good answer.
I presumably. Actually, you know what? It was pre Jurassic Park. There was a PBS special called "What Happened to the Dinosaurs" or "Dinosaurs Went Extinct" or some shit. And it was the coolest fucking thing. And then I had one of those really old school PC games where you were like, it was called Dinosaur Safari.
Okay.
You go back in time, you take photos and videos of dinosaurs, and you get money for like
and not shoot them dead.
Well. No.
No.
Yeah, exactly. No, you go back to take photos or videos.
Well, like, I played that game.
But sometimes they'll come and eat you. So you have to, like, get out of your fucking time machine ASAP.
You are the raptor.
It was crazy.
Do you play any, like, the Jurassic Park, like, arcade games or stuff like that? Like, no.
It was a board game for The Lost World. Shitty.
What always struck me as being funny about the Jurassic Park, like, arcade games.
You shot a lot of dinosaurs.
It's just, like, your entire goal, 100% of the game, is, like, shooting and killing as many dinosaurs as possible. I'm like, they've missed the point of Jurassic Park.
Really, like beyond, they're beyond endangered.
It's, like, this magical, feat of science that we've brought the dinosaurs back. Now let's kill them.
Kill
dead.
Them.
Like,
something went wrong. Now murder them all.
Yeah.
And somehow there's now like 400 of them.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I was like, there was like
everywhere. Yeah.
Six raptors in the movie. You're like, now there's 100.
Yeah.
Well, that was pretty much the plot of the second one. The second one was bring in the army and kill the dinosaurs dead.
Yeah.
Site B, where there's a million more dinosaurs.
Yeah,
we
don't like talking about the Lost
P.S.
World.
Yes, I started another one on that island over there. I just neglected to mention.
Yeah, a way bigger fucking place with way more dinosaurs.
God damn it!
The second one's okay. The third one's.
Third one was very, very silly with what's his name and his family.
You're saying that the second
Park.
One wasn't silly, where they were like, so then dinosaurs attack San Francisco. What?
A dinosaur managed
well,
to
they bring it over
screen.
The boat.
No, no, no. But didn't they not know it was on the boat?
Yeah, they
wasn't
it
like hiding? It was a
no,
T-Rex
no, they
that
was
like
on the boat. No, no, they knew it was on the boat.
Oh, then they lost control.
You gotta rewatch it. Like they
I got to.
Yeah.
I have to.
Because there's both a baby T-Rex and the big T-Rex on the boat. Anyway. All right, question second.
Well, no, it's the same question
right,
to John.
Right.
What do you want to be when you grow up?
The earliest thing that
dinosaur.
I ever said.
A dinosaur.
The earliest thing that I ever said that I wanted to be when I grew up, I think I was three, was I wanted to be the prime minister and a bus driver at the same time.
Boom!
Because the bus driver, because back then the bus driver had the kind of canister with where you dropped coins in, and I was like, there are so many coins in there. Bus drivers must be rich as fuck. So I wanted to be a bus driver, and then, you know,
and
on my,
of
in the meantime,
Canada.
I would be the Prime Minister of Canada.
Justin
which
Trudeau.
I would, Justin
of
Trudeau.
Course
if you're listening,
paid job.
If you're listening, you can still do this. You can make this happen. Make it happen, Justin Trudeau.
Justin Trudeau should become a bus driver.
Get on
and
a bus
then,
and
Prime
come
Minister.
Here.
But
and
then the what I wanted to be when I grew up changed, like, every 4 minutes. So.
Yeah.
All right, so John, so now you're on the spot. Who is the greatest person of all time, without thinking too hard?
The greatest person? Because
if you think too hard,
shit.
It'll end up being like Gandhi or something. So you can't think too hard. You just need to like, what was the name that popped into your head when you asked the question?
I could be really stereotypical and say it's Gary Gygax.
Well,
who brought Dungeons and Dragons to the... But that's... I'm not sure if he's the greatest person of all time. Greatest person of all time?
You're thinking too hard.
Yeah, I know.
You're getting deep.
It's the... I'm not sure that there is a greatest person of all time.
We're going to go with Gary Gygax.
Gary Gygax. Yeah. There you go.
Yeah, that was the
Adventure of
the first,
Dungeons
the
and
first
Dragons
name that you said.
The yeah. real the dorkiest answer I could have possibly given to that question.
No. Scott. There
you go. You said it, and I said, I thought to myself, Genghis Khan, straight up.
Wow, that's...
Two things. One, I've been playing a lot of Civ 5, so that's what that's about. Second of all, greatest in terms of advancement of humankind? Definitely not. Greatest in terms of the man is like, you know, this like backwoods tribesman from Mongolia, and he conquered essentially the whole known world. I mean, not entirely, but...
He conquers the whole world as it was known to him.
Yes, of course, which is still quite a bit of...
Yeah, he was like, I'm going to keep conquering until I hit water.
Or until I die.
One or the other.
So he was...
Whatever comes first.
Pretty sweet. Yeah. A lot of death, but still pretty sweet.
We're sticking with the letter G. Genghis Khan, ooh. Gary Gygax. Scott,
yes.
What is the worst fashion choice you've ever made?
That is an amazing question. Oh, my God, that's different. Oh, you know, I can answer that in a heartbeat. I worked for Parks Canada for a few summers. We did plays.
All right.
You know, so I was various soldiers.
I was really hoping you were going to be a ranger.
Damn it.
Oh, callback.
I see what you did
look
there.
That.
That's nice. Because I'm a ranger in the series.
There it is.
Like my class.
Did that one on purpose.
Definitely.
Well, they're like, didn't even know it.
Came prepared.
So good.
What you can't see, podcast land, is that he actually has a Cliff's Notes of all these little in-jokes, and he's just picking them off one by one.
Yeah, exactly.
Checking them
got
off.
Got it.
Little bingo.
Comedy sheet. Pro Walter J. Lang.
Parks Canada.
Yes. To quick... Yeah, anyway. You know, for playing various soldiers and townspeople and so... Anyway, I grew sideburns, and then I just grew a full-on Abraham Lincoln chin strap.
Right.
Didn't shave it for a long time. Nobody mentioned that it looked really bad. nobody. I don't know how that happened.
You grew a terrible Abraham Lincoln chin strap.
Ooh, it was bad news. yeah. Oh, no, actually, can I revise my answer? No, I guess not.
You can revise.
That
you can
was
have a
pretty
B
good
part.
Answer.
I did a play in which I had to play a monk, so I shaved the center of my head.
Whoa.
That was
yeah, but that was
hardcore.
Like, that was for art.
It was. Okay, yeah.
That's still
the Abraham Lincoln thing.
Yeah, I was going to be like...
You started for art, but then you just kept it.
Yeah,
so.
That's less
but
of a fashion
choice. But I feel that still
the
shaving the center in his head was only for art for like maybe 2 hours
of
every 24-hour day.
So.
What?
I also loved it, the shaved center
did
of
you,
the head.
Did you just like touch it every now and then when you were like on the bus? Like, yeah.
Washing my hair was a very strange experience. I'll tell you that right now.
I'll bet. It's kind of where you put the soap, and then you're like, no point
like,
in
that's
that.
That's just scalp. Anyway, that's me.
John, worst fashion choice?
That's an extremely easy answer. And everyone who's listening, you've got to take note. Growing my hair out long was a bad idea. I was doing it because I thought I could, and then I kept it because it was interesting, and then I kept coming up with reasons why it would be a good idea, especially after I started going to school for theater, where I was like, oh, but if I have long hair, then I can get any part I want, because they can just tell me to cut my hair. But if they need someone with long hair, then already... No.
That makes so much sense.
Yeah,
logically.
It is, listen, all you guys out there, there are people out there who can pull off ponytails as men. They're not you. They are people who are either wearing wigs or they're extremely lucky. Once you cut your hair, you'll be surprised at how many people come up to you and said, oh, you look so much better. Don't grow a ponytail.
We've been telling this to John for years. Like, he's basically clinging to the ponytail, like the last bastion.
See,
John's
a little bit lucky
long
in that he at least...
He's got straight hair, though. He's got
it doesn't look terrible, but it still looks incredibly not...
Yeah, like I had when I had
style.
It, the best compliment that I ever got was like, "Oh, you can actually wear a ponytail. Like that's all right." And that's not the same as you look good in a ponytail. It doesn't look terrible.
Yeah.
But then when you cut it, everyone is just goes after you.
I will even to bring this back to wrestling real quick. Even pro wrestling has basically abandoned long hair.
Yeah, very much.
Like,
so.
Like if you watch like
very
late
much.
'90s
oh,
wrestling,
everybody
they all
everybody.
Had long hair. And I can't even think of anybody who has long hair still.
Does The Undertaker have long hair anymore?
Daniel Bryan. You grew it out. No,
Daniel Bryan has
it's
shaggy
now,
hair though, but he still
he
doesn't have the long
the Undertaker. Undertaker no, even he has like short
yeah,
hair.
Yeah, he has anyway. He is a shaved kind of
he has like a mohawk.
He's like shaved
oh,
bald
right.
with kind of a fuzzy mohawk. Right
which is
now.
Too bad because for his character it was really good to have the long
hair. Yeah. Kane doesn't have long hair anymore.
Man, I'm really trying to think of it.
Like I said, really Daniel Bryan hair. Just has shaggy, longish hair.
Yeah,
I always wanted to have long hair too, but like it just gets fat.
Maybe. Especially also when you're a dude and your hair starts thinning out, you don't want to hold on to that ponytail.
Exactly. Yeah, HBK kind of hung on to it, and that was the worst because he has the hair that's longer in the front so that he can tie it.
Michael Hayes still has long hair.
Michael Hayes has so long hair. But yeah, so HBK, Heartbreak Kid, Shawn Michaels, ties the long front hair in the front over his bald spot.
Yeah, no.
Is he a bald spot?
Oh, it's so bad. Watch any late matches when his hair gets disheveled, and it's a big bald spot. Yeah. He just has long hair that, like, it's like kind of a ponytail comb over.
Comb overs are not a good idea. Fashion faux pas.
So long hair. Yeah. Okay, so now this is a cool question from the person who we were talking about at the top of the podcast, T. David Blackburn, wrestling promoter and manager.
Isn't this like a really vulgar question or something?
No, that was Prescott's. Okay. This question is actually fucking super kind of good. John, I'm going to kick it off with you so you don't have time to prepare. What is your favorite album to listen to start to finish?
Yeah. Start to finish?
Yeah.
The soundtrack to the movie Speed.
Nice.
Really? Good answer.
Well, nice. Yeah.
I listen to soundtracks.
Billy Idol song on that, right? Speed.
Yeah.
It's what you need.
I listen to soundtracks when I write because it's good kind of background music, but also because you'll get that kind of variance of like pounding kind of, you know, adrenaline-powered music, but you'll also get this sort of
couple
modern
ballads.
Music. Or yeah. It's, and it, the that, it's, I believe, Mark Mancina who did the score for Speed. And it's a great...
Nice reference.
It's a great... it's a great kind of album just to listen through because it kind of excites me, and at the same time it gives me the chance to go... I think recently it'll probably be the Gravity soundtrack.
Does the Speed soundtrack have any, like, does it have a couple parts of the score on it too?
No, it's sorry. When I said soundtrack, I guess I meant score. It's just
shit.
The score.
I thought you meant like the original motion picture soundtrack with like the
Billy Idol song.
Right?
No, it's just the score.
Because like, one of my favorite things in the world is the Godzilla soundtrack with like Puff Daddy on it and stuff. And like,
yeah, no, that and that's yeah. Hey, that's a great album.
And Batman Forever.
Yeah, I respected your answer a little more Kiss when I thought
from
you
a
were
rose.
Talking about. Yeah. All right.
But yeah, no, it's scores, video game scores, movie scores, they're great. So the first answer that I can give you then, the score from Speed, the 1991 film starring Keanu Reeves and Sandra Bullock. Film that introduced Sandra Bullock, America's sweetheart, to the
Billy nation. Idol did a song for the
He did.
The OST.
Do you remember Speed 2 and it was a boat?
It was a boat.
And Keanu Reeves had the good sense not to be in it.
Yeah, and it was some other guy. But yeah. Then it was a boat that had to go really fast. But it was like an entire cruise ship.
Yeah,
or it would blow up.
Scott,
yeah.
Favorite album, start to finish.
Oh, same question. Great. Yeah. It's a tie. Someone can maybe help me answer the question.
I'll tell you which one's better.
Okay. Well, then it's probably no contest. either it's Abbey Road,
okay,
Little Beatles Abbey Road, or Rush's 2112. I'm a big Rush fan, and I know
no,
that's
Abbey
not
Road.
Super
I was
popular
say
these
days. Answer's
Rush.
Abbey Road.
Boom! Right. I love it.
Answer's
Abbey
Road
is an amazing album.
I have a boss who's like a ridiculous Rush fan.
Yeah.
Is there such a thing as a ridiculous Rush fan?
Okay, in the wrong
here we
room
go
for this. Yeah. Okay,
it's like also just so you know that Rush is also the unofficial soundtrack of every geek who's ever lived.
Nice. That
there's something intrinsically like there's something really geeky and really nerdy about Rush. I think it's because they're like a little bit like the prog rock where they're mostly singing about trees.
Good old back on this one.
And it's also the only drummer that
can
recognize.
No, it's okay. If I start, I won't.
I know the name of a drummer.
I understand because I also understand that I'm. You know, I go to a party and
but
I'm
Abbey Road, though.
Everyone's
that's
like, oh, there you
cool.
go.
Abbey,
yeah,
Road. Abbey Road.
Abbey Road is
I like Abbey Road
album.
A lot.
That,
yeah.
That the build in Abbey Road is amazing. The way it sort of starts so small, gets really huge at the end of the first side with I Want You, the like the huge fade out.
Yeah,
of,
it's
oh
great.
My God.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
Does Abbey Road end with the medley?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's good shit.
Yeah, it's really good. Anyway.
All right, so now you guys need to come together, have a meeting of the minds, and decide what question you're going to ask to our future guest.
I've got a good question.
Okay.
Do you?
I also do.
Okay, so tell you what, we're going to each say our question, and we're going to let Keith and Walter decide.
Oh, my God. Okay, I'm ready. Go ahead.
No, you go first.
Yeah, I'll go first. Oh, okay. He's confident. Oh. My question would be, if it gets chosen, if you could live for a day in one work of art, what would it be? As in a painting or a sculpture or whatever.
So, like, see through the eyes of the painting.
That's a pretty cool question.
Yeah. That's a cool question.
All right.
John.
What's the best piece of advice you give people that you can't follow yourself?
Oh!
Shit. Walter, what do you want to do?
I got to choose one of these?
Well, we could just do A and B if you really wanted to hang on to both of them.
They're both kind of good questions.
Kind of good questions? Well, there's one that's better.
Pretty good.
I want to know which one's better.
I like the art question.
The
art question is a really good question.
The art question is a really good question. I find it would have like some pretty good answers, but the advice thing is also pretty solid.
Yeah.
And we're going to end up fucking with some scumbag who doesn't appreciate probably. These questions.
Yeah.
That's how it's going to go.
Wait, so you trashed the people before and the people after?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
I want to hear Trudeau, because we love Walter. Him.
Okay, whichever question you don't pick, you have to answer right now.
We usually typically answer the questions.
Well, then you should.
Overall.
There you go.
Art piece, I would have to go with
Breaking Bad. Because I hate myself. Damn,
I would be Breaking Bad. I was thinking more in terms of
the visual art.
And like I would think that it would be badass to be the Statue of Liberty.
Yes.
There you go.
Because you'd be like, you'd see the boats under you, you'd see the city, and you'd be like, I'm a god. Like for the entire
thing. See, I was thinking small. Like I was just thinking, like, what painting do you want to be in?
Yeah, I was going for Edward Munch's The Scream.
I thought that was that's your instinctive answer.
Yeah.
I don't want to be the main guy. I want to be like the guy like that you can't see, like just looking like, what the fuck's the matter with that guy on the bridge?
He's
over
melting.
There?
Like, he's screaming. Like, what happened?
What about pieces of art where there's like multiple copies of it? Where if you're like, I want to be the cover of Dark Side of the Moon.
Well, then it's sort of a Harry Potter. Oh, I see what you mean. I was going to say it's a Harry Potter situation where
you can only
back
be in one.
Forth.
I've said Van Gogh's Starry Night. Nice. That looks so peaceful.
It does look really beautiful. I agree. It
feels like a good place to be.
Walter, do you have a piece, or are you going to go with The Scream?
I want to say Guernica. Guernica, maybe?
Guernica?
Guernica, the Picasso epic.
Okay.
But that's kind of pretentious and not
so
really what
want
I want.
So you want to spend time...
Do you want to be Stone Cold Steve Austin's theme music?
See, again...
Every time that song gets played, you'd experience whoever's playing it.
Yes.
For a day. That'd be pretty sweet.
Nice.
Because you'd have, at this point in time, you'd have people who were like, when they were playing it, they really wanted to be hearing it, right?
Yeah.
Like, it wouldn't just be forced upon anybody. There'd be people actively seeking out the Stone Cold Steve Austin theme music, and it would make their fucking day.
Nice.
Walter, what's the best advice that you could give to people but you can't follow yourself?
Don't sweat the small stuff.
That's true. That is a true fact from Walter J. Ling. You sweat the small stuff all the time.
Constantly.
Walter had a show last night, and it was at the Wheel Club. Which is basically across the street from my house.
Yep.
And for, like, I was, like, trolling him and telling him that I wasn't going to go because it was a lot of snow. And for, like, a brief second, he was mad at me. Like,
but I didn't, like, I didn't lose it, though. To be fair, I could see you pulling that shit.
What's, like, the worst advice that I don't follow? I mean...
No, the best advice.
Just wash your hands.
Wash your hands. I was gonna be like, probably like, don't do drugs, something along those lines. Like, you really should not, like, don't do a lot of drugs in your teenage years.
Flat back landing, kids.
Exactly. Yeah, don't do a lot of drugs when you're a kid. This is advice that I really did a bad job of following when I was a kid.
And that's because you were a kid.
Yes. Yeah. So I did a lot of drugs.
Nice.
I'd say that being a kid is the time to make mistakes, but honestly, there's always time to make mistakes.
Yeah, exactly.
I do it constantly.
So, do you want to grab both these questions? You want to do an A and B for next
fuck
person?
It, yeah, sure.
All right.
I'm not going to remember either one anyway, so.
So, you guys want to just wrap the show up? You want to tell us where we can see your show, where we could buy your merch, where
on
we can
computers.
Do all those things.
LARPs the Series is airing Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays over the 3 weeks in March because we have 10 episodes.
Mm-hmm.
You can find them at either LARPstheSeries.com, on our YouTube page at youtube.com/LARPstheSeries, on our Facebook page, facebook.com/LARPstheSeries, or our Twitter account, twitter.com/LARPstheSeries.
Yay!
LARPs the Series being spelled LARPSTHESERIES.
Not LARAPS.
LARAPS.
Not LARAPS.
And do you guys have anything else that you want to plug while you're on here, while we're wrapping up? Or is there anything else you guys want to talk about? Are there
guys, like,
I mean, I have a comic book that's coming out. We were talking about comic books, but that's not going to come out for a little while yet.
Okay. Scott, are you working on any other projects? Anything else? Do you have anything you want to recommend to us?
I will recommend Living Room Dark, which is a play that will be going up from Infernus Theater. Which I'm in
Theater.
It. Sorry,
okay,
Infernus Theater. Okay. I'm in it, and our Shane/Astra co-star Elizabeth Neal is going to be in it, and that's going up in the end of April. It's a new play being done by just a wonderful group of people. Yeah. So. You should totally go out and see that. But otherwise, no. I will pimp 9 to 5 and
we're on the eve of a relaunch.
See, there you go.
That is a thing.
How many relaunches have you guys had in recent months?
None.
See?
No, but like an actual relaunch. A real relaunch. We're going to rebuild the site. We have a web designer working with us and all that.
Awesome.
It's going to be good. It's going to be fun. Walder, do you have anything you want to plug? I know you have a Night Fight coming up before this episode.
Night Fight, episode 6.
The 22nd?
March 28th. 28th.
Yeah, this will definitely be up.
Yes.
Walder's like, I do have something I want to plug.
See that musical guest, Charles Barrington.
Charles Barrington.
Ooh. Main guest, surprise.
Is it a surprise, or are you going to tell
surprise.
Us?
Surprise.
More like a mystery.
Can you give us a hint?
No. I actually can't.
Is it going to be Leland?
Maybe.
Band leader?
we were asking Amy Blackmore to be on. Amy Blackmore, if you hear this, be on the show. Be the guest on the show.
Amy Blackmore is amazing.
Amy Blackmore is awesome, yeah.
Everybody should Blackmore. Do something with Amy Blackmore. Blackmore.
As yeah. just mentioned, also the shit.
Amy Blackmore, answer your emails, be on my show.
Leland Beckman does the theme for this show, which is probably playing right now.
You know
now.
Leland?
Leland is going to be doing Life Lessons with Keith Waterfield.
Yeah, you know Keith as well.
Yeah, oh, I work at the Seagull.
There it is.
There, that's the one.
You work at the Seagull?
Yeah.
How do we not know each other?
I don't know. I'm the assistant. I'm Keith's assistant. One of Keith's assistants.
Keith has an assistant?
Well, let me put that another way. He has his job when he's not there in the evenings is
okay.
my job.
All right.
Do you know what I mean?
Sure.
So you're not like the Keith's
I don't
assistant.
Get his coffee. Let me put it that way.
Okay.
Although I have
you're an assistant front of house manager.
That's the one. Damn yeah. it, Scott.
Just oh, should people should go see... When's this coming out?
This is going to be out on the, I'm going to say, 20th.
20th. So... Glengarry Glen. Are you excited for Glengarry
Glen
Ross?
Glengarry Glen Ross.
I'm
yes,
excited.
It's going to be.
It's going to be fun.
Awesome.
With friend yeah. of the show, Mike Patterson.
Mike Patterson.
Yeah.
Nobody, I think, is holding the all-time attendance record for guests.
And R.H. Thompson.
He's had. Three.
We should have R.H. Thompson on the show.
Oh yeah.
Talk
you
about
know who you should have is like the Sidemark guys, Graham. And
we've had Graham.
Bad.
We've had
oh,
Graham
okay, okay.
twice
oh.
or once.
No, we only had
Great
Graham
guys.
Once.
Yeah, I had him.
He
on my
is also way into wrestling, or what used to be way into wrestling. He went to like a Ring of Honor weekend like special by himself.
That's so hardcore.
Like he was just sort of like, I was just really into it, and no one wanted to come with me, and I was like, "Fuck it, I'm going alone."
Here's a way that we can tie wrestling to LARPing. The most connection that I ever had to wrestling was going over to Ronin's, where he would recreate LARP characters inside
the wrestling game,
wrestling video
game. Yeah,
games.
Yeah. We all existed as wrestling characters. Anyway, this has been Go Plug Yourself, guys. Thank you very much for coming.
I need to pee.
Scott Thank Humphrey, you. John Varro, LARP's the series.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I gotta pee.
Go for it, dude.
'Sweet piano tunes you're listening to right now come courtesy of Leland Beckman and Oral Turpitude. Oh man, that was some great podcasting, wasn't it? Anyhow, be sure as always to like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, add us on iTunes, buy our stuff, and basically try as hard as you can to make us happy in every single way possible. Of course, be sure to check back every day on 9to5.cc for comics on Wednesdays, podcasts on Thursdays, Scott or Sophie's art on Fridays, and seriously, we'll try as hard as we can to get Zombies and Loathing, Fuck Mondays, and Templars back as soon as we can. Thanks for listening, everyone.
9to5.cc. We're not working. Why should you?